Notice on the whiteboard that today you should be working in groups of three. So do so. What we're doing today, though, is a little thermochemistry. And the important, it's pretty basic, but the important thing to understand today is the notion of specific heat capacity. Specific heat capacity is a property that any substance has. And what's the definition? What is its specific heat capacity?
Amount of energy to raise 1 gram by 1 Kelvin?
Exactly. It's the amount of energy that's required to raise the temperature of whatever substance you're talking about by 1 Kelvin for each gram. So if you have exactly 1 gram, it's going to take exactly the specific heat capacity number of joules to raise the temperature of that 1 gram by 1 Kelvin. By the way, it's not degrees Kelvin, it's degrees centigrade, it's just Kelvins. So you don't write a degree symbol for absolute temperature. They're the same size though. So when you're measuring in centigrade today with your thermometers, those are the same size as Kelvins. But you should report it in units of Kelvins. All right, now, water has a pretty high specific heat capacity compared to most things. What is the value for water? 4.18 what? Joules per gram per Kelvin. Exactly. So, if you know how much water you have, and you know how much it changed in temperature, you can calculate how many joules were released or absorbed by the substance that was in that water when the water underwent that change in temperature. So, if the water heats up, what kind of process must have been occurring? If the water heats up, it's being released by the process and heating the water up, right? So that would be exothermic.
Well, the water would be endothermic. Well, I guess the reaction.
The process that you're recording within the calorimeter will be exothermic if the water heats up, because it's coming from that process. If the temperature goes down, then it would be an endothermic process. Taking heat from the water and therefore cooling it off. Okay, so that's really the only concept to understand today. The rest it's pretty straightforward. You put things in a calorimeter, carefully measure the change in temperature, and then do some fairly basic calculations. So this should be a fairly easy day, as long as you don't hurt yourself by touching things that are hot or playing around with chemicals without your goggles on. So everyone has gloves on and goggles the whole time. And when it's time to get your metals, you don't want to do them all at once. You want to get one batch of metals at a time to do the test. They need to stay in the oven until exactly when you're going to use them. Because the moment you take them out of the oven, they're going to start changing temperature, obviously. You want that amount of heat that it's being released by these hot metals to be absorbed by the water. So you want to get them into the water as soon as possible. The calorimeters are over in this bin, and each thing like this is one calorimeter. It's several cups thick just to insulate it even better. The top thing, though, is a modified cup with a stopper in it. So that's where you put your thermometer. All right, so when it's time for you to do your metals anyway, they're in this oven right straight through this door. So come back with your calorimeter to do that. There are gloves right by the door. And as it says in the protocol, don't open the door and leave it open. In fact, don't even open it farther than you absolutely need to, just to grab one of your beakers of metals. But put the gloves on first, open the oven, get the beaker out, close the door. And then put them in your calorimeter. There's only one pair of heat-resistant gloves back there, so keep them there for the next group. But the shelves are designated for sections. So our section all needs to work from the top shelf. Don't take them from any other shelf. Top shelf, and you should be fine. So go ahead.